hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving, and welcome to the Scuba Radio Florida Keys road trip. Yes, joining me for this adventure, my partner in crime, Single Scott, is with me as we traverse the Florida Keys. How you doing so far there, Single Scott?
Well, I was a little hurting this morning, as you know, but yeah, we had a good night last night, and we're going to have a lot more of those coming.
Yes, we got a few more nights here, and we're actually recording the show as we traverse from Key Largo down to Key West. We're going to stop in with the Mel Fisher folks and a few friends along the way as we work our way down the Florida Keys. Also, you'll hear about our adventure before we even got here, because we stopped off in Fort Lauderdale, and Single Scott scored big time at the slots, at the Mermaid slot. How apropos, right?
Well, you know, yeah, I like to play the crap table, but they don't have them there. So we walked by and saw a mermaid slot, so it was meant to be. And
at the Hard Rock Casino there in Fort Lauderdale.
Exactly. And put in $20. I think I hit it three times, and then it started playing all these free spins, and we just sat there and watched it, and $1,000 later, I walked out in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, it took $100 of mine, but it gave Scott a grand. But I was happy for him, and obviously it's a great way to kick off a little road trip to the Florida Keys. So we're definitely starting in the plus side of things, and we've already had quite some adventures with some of the locals, and you'll hear all about that a little bit later on in the show today. However, we stop, or I should say we start at the top of the Keys in Key Largo with my close personal friend, the first guest we ever had on Scuba Radio, and I'll tell you, it's been way too long since we've been down and hung with our buddy here on his home turf, but of course I'm talking about the world-famous fish feeding face guy extraordinaire, Captain Slate from Captain Slate's Atlantis Dive Center. How you doing, Captain?
Hey, I'm doing great. It's good to see you in a Scottster. Hey, I want to know why I can't go in a casino and do the same thing.
Well, I was asking myself that same question, especially after, you know, we're sitting next to each other, Captain Slate, at the slots. I'm playing one mermaid slot, he's playing the other, and of course, mine keeps sucking the money out of me, and, you know, on his second button push, the thing just goes nuts. $1,000 like that. Bingo.
I'd have had him maybe I wouldn't have him rub my leg in public, but I'd at least, touched him, you know, rubbed his head or something.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, he has that shiny noggin there. Maybe that's what I should have done, and maybe I could have kept some of my cash in my pocket as well. But, hey, I was very happy for him, and a great way to start our little Keys trek. Hey, you know, it's been way too long since we've been down here, Captain Slate. I see you at all the dive shows and that kind of thing, but we haven't been down here to dive with you or actually be here firsthand and experience some of these Key Largo dive sites.
Well, you know, I was down here for the wreck trek.
That's right.
Yeah, yes. Scott did.
Yes.
Yeah, he but I haven't had the opportunity. Right. It's been way too long.
That's it.
But you know, we catch up at the dive shows and kind of compare notes and see. You know, and I came down this time, and I told Captain we were coming down. He says, yeah, come on by the shop. But when we got down here, he wasn't at the shop. He was at a boat yard, right?
Yeah, these boats we have do need a little tuning up every now and then. And this one had a couple little issues with packing nut, so we had to pull the shaft and put a new one in. And we clean them up and polish them, and it's a good time of the year because the season's coming. We just got to get it back in the water by Friday.
Yeah, that's right. You're getting ready for the spring break rush, I'm guessing, right?
Absolutely, and we're glad to have a rush. It's been a pretty slow winter, although Christmas was a big time. But we're looking for a good season, and from the bookings that we normally get, we're getting, and we're hoping everybody's going to be happy.
Yeah, now you can't see, obviously, because we are Scuba Radio, but we are in the boatyard. The Coral Princess 4, I believe, is the one you're working on. Or 5, 6?
Six.
Six, okay.
The glass bottom boat.
And Captain Slate is in his mechanics outfit. He has goo all over him. I don't even know what that stuff is, but I'm guessing. Yeah. Oh, you got it on me. Hey, what are you rubbing my leg? I see, I remember. I'm the one who lost the money. Don't rub my leg, Captain Slate,
come here,
for luck. Now, yeah, so you're really, you're working hard. I didn't expect to see, you know, Captain Slate, the guy who's, you know, feeding the barracudas with ballyhoo in his mouth and that kind of thing here in Key Largo. You don't expect to come and see him working like an everyday Joe. You're thinking, oh, he must be living the big life, the plush life. But, man, you're down in the trenches working this.
Well, I was dressed up in my zoot suit grinding fiberglass for about 3 hours today. You saw me yesterday.
I did.
And I was really excited about Scott showing up because he said he was going to do it for me. But you know what? I turned around, he took off.
Yeah, 4 Jaeger bombs later, we don't even remember what happened after that, actually.
Well, you know, after, yeah. Well, it looks like he made it.
Yes, he did make it, yeah. Indeed. But, he got out of the boatyard before you noticed. He was gone, evidently, and yeah, left you to do it yourself. But that's what you're doing. Just, you get in there and do it because you know these boats backwards and forwards, I guess, and from working with them so many years and stuff, right?
Well, Scott said it a minute ago. My daddy used to say it all the time, if you want it done right, do it yourself. Now, I do have a great group here at the boatyard, but I got to get in here and do it and help. At least I know what's going on in the boat better than they do because, like I say, I've had these boats, some of them for 32 years, and we got to keep tuning them up. New decks, new motors, new paint, and they look good.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, they're workhorses. I mean, what kind of boats are these again? Because I think we've talked about this before at one point.
They are. Well, they were originally the Lindsay Hull design. Dick Lindsay made our first boat, and then Bill Burpee bought the mold.
Right, the Burpee.
The Burpee, right. Commercial work boats.
Yeah, and these things are just workhorses and have been a staple in the dive industry for a lot of charter operations for years and years, right?
You can't kill them. I mean, once someone else gets tired of one or trades boats, someone else will buy the Burpees. And a friend of mine just had one in here that he was working on and got it up to speed, and it's out running boats, charters right now.
Nice. Now, okay, obviously we got to talk about the diving here in Key Largo, Captain Slate. You're famous for the creature feature on Friday mornings and when?
Sunday morning.
Oh, it's Sunday morning. Is that it?
And Friday morning.
Okay, Friday morning and Sunday morning, because, yeah, I knew you added another day. And basically you go down to the City of Washington rec site here in Key Largo, right?
Correct.
And for years you have made friends with the local marine life, whether it's a few nurse sharks, but the famous picture, obviously, that everybody can identify with Captain Slate is where you're in the water with a ballyhoo in your mouth, and there's this giant barracuda coming and about to take it out of your mouth. You've been doing this for years and years, right?
1978, 32 plus years.
That's a while.
It's a while, and we out there every Friday and Sunday, and we're I got 2 cudas now, the medium sized one and the little one, so I never know which one's coming first. So it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, what are their names? Because you got I know little pet names for your critters that you see on a regular basis. So what are your medium barracuda and large barracuda names?
Well, the larger one is Striker, for obvious reasons. He's already drawn blood once, so he knows what it's like. And the other one is named Sundance, the little guy.
All right, good. And yeah, don't try this at home. Obviously, Slate has been doing this for 32 years. He has the scars to prove it. He doesn't do it lightly, but you've actually, you know, you got your technique and you've learned how to do it over the years, and it makes for quite a remarkable show and photo op, obviously, for the divers to go watch this. But beyond that, it's just kind of cool to see how the animals react to you and how they, interact with the whole environment. I mean, how friendly or do you get in that situation, Captain Slate, with these animals? Are they like your dog that you would have at your house or something, or is it a totally different type of thing?
Well, having fed for 32 years on the same site and having it in a protected reef, the animals will approach you more than they would anywhere else. And the beauty of it is they're pretty safe there from fishing, unless someone does it illegally in the area.
Right, so they're not threatened and not spooked so much because of fishing things or past experiences they may have had outside of a sanctuary, I guess, right?
Exactly, and we've had been able to cultivate a friendly group of nurse sharks. They come and they go. Sometimes we have two, and sometimes we have six. And unfortunately, they do swim out of the area, and I have taken hooks out of them from the longliners, but. They're still there, and the beauty of it is, after you go there so often, so many times, the fish tend to hang around on, as we know, an artificial reef, a wreck site, and they like the cover of the wreck, so they're usually there. And I just grab a rock, beat on it for a second on a piece of the wreckage, and here come the critters. And like you said, the beauty of it is I enjoy doing it. It is a risk involved, but I love introducing new divers to what we think are hazardous marine animals, and they get a respect and an admiration for them. So hopefully when they're out diving on their own somewhere else and they see a barracuda or a shark, they're not going to panic or think it's something to worry about, or they're not going to try to kill it and enjoy it.
Yeah, you're not telling people to stick a fish in your mouth and feed it to a barracuda, but it's amazing to see that interaction firsthand and realize, hey, there's this guy who's been doing this for years, and he's created this relationship with these animals that we thought were out to get us, and obviously that's not necessarily the case, right?
Right. Well, you don't want to aggravate any animal, but when they swim by me and I can reach up and hold a barracuda by his tail, and in the blink of an eye, he can turn around and bite me, and he doesn't. So it kind of tells you that we're not on their menu, and
right.
It's pretty safe to be in the water with them.
Yeah, and you know, the divers that see this, obviously one of the first questions you get about scuba diving, period, is about sharks, about barracudas, about the eels, all these scary critters that we've grown up with that people outside the water have a little fear of. But when you see this type of interaction, then yeah, it kind of erases that immediately. So Friday mornings and Sundays, you do the creature feature, and of course that's not the only attraction you have here in Key Largo at Captain Slate's Atlantis Dive Center. You have how many sites do you guys service here up in Key Largo?
We go normally to about 17 different reef sites, including of course the big Speckle Grove, the 510-foot Liberty. LSD we sank in 202, I'm sorry. And then, we, of course, have the Duane and the Bib, the two Coast Guard cutters we sank in 87, and the Duane, of course, sitting on its keel, which is the better dive. So we have the two big ships, and, of course, then we have four other ships that have crashed in the reef and over the millennium and been and sitting there and dynamited down, like the Ben Wood and the Mike's Wreck on the Elbow and the City of Washington.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, you start in Key Largo, you can take the wreck trek that Single Scott did a few weeks ago or a couple months ago and work your way all the way down to Key West. And you maybe you start with the Speckle Grove and you end with the Vandenberg down in Key West. It's just an amazing thing in its own right. Anything on the horizon in that regard? I mean, I know, God, it took, 10 years at least to get the Speckle Grove down. Are you pretty much done with that for now, or you kind of got your sights like, well, we need to start looking at another one?
Well, we would like to look at other wrecks always, because the Navy has plenty of them sitting up in the James River, including two aircraft carriers. But the NOAA National Marine Sanctuary has kind of said, hey, we're going to study the wreck after the Vandenberg went down, and we're going to see the benefit, blah, blah, versus whatever. And, of course, there's nothing but benefit to all.
But they want to give it some time right. To kind of settle in, and then let's do some real research on the fish counts and that kind of thing, I'm guessing, right? All right. Well, look, hey, we got an entire show from the Florida Keys, at least the first hour, right here with Captain Slate, our special guest from Captain Slate's Atlantis Dive Center. Of course, it's CaptainSlate.com. That's all coming up right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Oh, shark farts.
Now, if I was as rich as the Aga Khan, I'd tell you what I would do. Buy every man, woman, and child on this planet a mask and a snorkel, too. Then I'd lead that wild migration, destination Waimea Bay. Then we'd splash our way around the world. Life is just a water ballet. Come on, you beautiful swimmers. You know how to move like a steel guitar. Beautiful swimmers stay in the groove, catching constant currents near and far.
Yeah, what's a trip to the Keys without a little Buffett music, right? That's from his latest Buffett Hotel. Yeah, you ever been diving with Jimmy Buffett there, Captain Slate? Because you've been here so many years. I know he's cruised through these this area a time or two. At least that's the rumor.
Well, yeah, he has. I've seen him once in Key Largo at his favorite hangout, Mrs. Mack's Kitchen. But I did when I was on the National Marine Sanctuary Planning Council, he's a manatee supporter. That was one of his big issues. This is going back 15 years. And he and about four other people did a show together up in Lauderdale for the manatee. But I've never dove with him.
Never. Neither have I. I've never even actually got to talk to him. I think he avoids me on purpose. But who doesn't, right?
That happens.
But Mrs. Max, actually, that's where we ate lunch today. That was the first time I'd been to this place. Has that been there for years, too, or what?
Yeah, I've been there longer than I've been here, and that is his, quote, stop. I wasn't expecting him there, but he does stop there on the way down to Key West. And, again, this is a few years back, but he stops in there for her key lime pie.
Oh, wow. Well, see, we didn't get the key lime pie. It'll give us a reason to go back there, Single Scott. All right, so Captain Slate here is in Key Largo. He's been running this dive operation for many, many, many years. And once again, you can go to CaptainSlate.com and get everything you need to do as far as all the information on how to book a trip, do the creature feature, and that kind of thing. But, you know, one of the things I like about Captain Slate, not only was he our first guest on Scuba Radio and has lived up to the hype in the image that I had of him before I even met him, he's so passionate about the diving. Like you just said, you know, you really enjoy doing the creature feature and introducing all these divers to this neat experience that you showcase here in Key Largo. Well, what is it, Captain Slate? Can you dig down and say, you know, after all these years, I still like diving. Why?
Well, it's because it's such a great escape. It's another complete world, and the only other place to go is in space, and I don't have the time or the degrees to get in a space shuttle, so I guess...
Or the pyrotechnics. Actually, you do, because you're a fireworks... He does fireworks down here, too. Don't get me started.
Yeah.
You just like blowing stuff up or something. I don't know.
I mean, to think, Greg, that I even have a license to carry high explosives from Homeland Security and the Justice Department.
Yes.
Now,
I mean, Captain Slate has done everything from, what, run for governor? God knows what else.
Legislature.
Okay, yes. For the, I mean, the guy, he knows everybody, and everybody knows Captain Slate. But it's your passion that Captain, that I love. And I you know, I have this question for the legends like yourself a lot of times, because I think, wow, how do you hold on to that after so many years from, I mean, do you ever have the problem of like, oh, I'm starting to get burned out on this, or, you know, or has this just been such a great ride and you just go every day like that, or what?
Well,
what's your secret?
Well, the only thing that I enjoy about, the biggest thing of a joy about running and boats and owning a dive shop is getting to go diving. That's not the reason I invented the creature feature. It just fell into my pattern of thought because I love the animals. I like to be in the ocean with them. And whenever Steve Clem, the legendary other Mike Nelson in my life, started diving, I started diving with him here in the 70s and seeing him do that, and he kind of cloned me. And it was just a natural act for me, being an animal lover, as you've been to my house. I got cats, turtles, snakes, whatever, dogs. I even have a rat. So got plenty
my
of them.
Choice?
Plenty of them that I don't feed that are in the house. But
yeah, it's okay. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly. But you got the cats to watch after the rats.
Exactly.
Yeah, something like that.
Exactly. Even the iguanas. They don't mess with them, though. But no, I've when I was a kid, 15 years old, I won't say when, but... let's say mid-60s, I jumped in a rock quarry with scuba gear on, and that was it. I was living a life. And, of course, when I came here in the Keys the first time in the late 60s diving, it was pretty much what I wanted to do, and somehow I ended up here.
Yeah. Well, once again, it's CaptainSlate.com. He's our special guest for this hour of Scuba Radio. We are in Key Largo at the diving mecca, the top of the rock, as they say in the Florida Keys. More coming up. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection. And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We are on a Florida Keys trek down to Key West, starting at the top of the rock in Key Largo with my close personal friend, Captain Slate. Yes, he said hi to me once, and I haven't left him alone since. I bug him every once in a while and give him a call, and he takes my call, which has been nice to him. And yeah, you know, the first guest we ever had on Scuba Radio, and I've told this story before, Captain Slate, but I think it's only appropriate to do it once again now that we're together. In a rare instance right here in your home turf in Key Largo, about how I found you. Now, do you remember this story yourself, or do I need to fill you in?
It was the postcard, right?
No, it was Skin Diver Magazine.
That's right.
Yeah, I you know, like every diver back in the day, you know, it doesn't even have to be Skin Diver. It could be any magazine you see today, for instance. But I remember thumbing through the pages of Skin Diver Magazine and seeing this picture of this diver with a ballyhoo in his mouth, feeding barracuda basically with his face, feeding fish with his face. And I'm like, oh my God, this guy must be insane. He would be a great radio guest. So when we started Scuba Radio, I tracked down the phone number, I called up, and he was nice enough to come on the air. And well, hey, the rest was history. And did he live up to the my expectations of being a bit of a unique character? You bet he did. Captain Slate, he's every bit of the legend and then some. So do you get that kind of response from most people when they meet you for the first time there, Captain?
Well, there is no doubt that photograph is kind of the tent maker for me. In other words, people see that and they come in. They even come in the shop that don't know about it, and they see the picture on the wall, and they go, oh, that's not real. And they go, well, hang around Friday morning and Sunday morning, and we'll show you. And, yes, it is a trademark picture. In fact, it is the most recognized picture in diving.
I don't doubt it one bit. Yeah, and you know, the thing is, too, when you come and dive with Captain Slate, you know, part of the thrill of diving with him is not just the reefs or the Spiegel Grove or even the creature feature. It's Captain Slate, being able to hang out with Captain Slate, because he runs one of the most fun dive operations from the top down, the attitude, the character, filters down with his crew and how they just run their operation. CaptainSlate.com. We got more with our special guest next right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Steve.
I like his flippers. Does he ever take them off?
No.
How about if he goes bowling? They don't make him wear bowling shoes? They let him wear the flippers?
Yes.
Really?
I took a dive.
Yeah.
welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master here in Key Largo with my buddy Captain Slate. We've got a rare opportunity to kind of get real close. Personal interview here with my legendary friend in Key Largo, Captain Slate's Atlantis Dive Center. Once again, CaptainSlate.com. Go there. You can book it and enjoy some of these adventures firsthand. Like I said, when you dive with Captain Slate, one of the cool things about diving in Key Largo is diving with Captain Slate. That's what you do. I mean, that's what puts your operation really, you know, makes it so unique, isn't it? So, come on, admit that, Spencer. You would say that, right?
Well, I can probably count on one finger how many other operators are driving and diving or still running their boats.
Or fixing their boat in a boatyard doing the. I mean, you really are. You're doing it. He isn't just some kind of figurehead here at the operation. This is his operation.
Well, I'm being ADHD all my life, I can't sit still. So, you know, it's either mow the yard or work on a boat or go diving. Let me figure that one out.
Exactly. But you know, the briefings are colorful. I mean, you're just hanging out on the dive boat with Captain Slate is just, that's worth the price of admission right there. You all the jokes and all the stories that you can share, I mean, it's cool. I mean, every once in a while, I reach that point on the show and I'm like, God, I get to hang out with Captain Slate. And people come up to me and say, Greg, you got a great gig. And you know, this is one of those situations where I absolutely agree, because having Captain Slate as a friend and having somebody like him to call and lean on some of his history, the history that he has in the industry is quite a humbling experience in its own right. Well, what about this thing you're wearing around your neck, Captain Slate? You got this gold medallion thing. It looks like a piece of treasure or something. What's that all about?
Well, it's actually a beautiful gold coin, PC8, from Bob Marks' collection.
Okay, yeah.
It was Bob Marks, Sir Robert Marks, of course, knighted by the Queen. He found it on one of his hundreds of ships he dove off the Dutch coast. And I got it from him, and then Bob Strait put the Barracuda around it as an adornment, and the two wheels on the bottom, and the hand as the clasp, because I hand feed the animals.
Nice.
He did that all on his own. He just walks in and goes, here, I did this for you.
Yeah, well, hey, I mean, that's a unique piece, and you're wearing that all the time, I'm guessing, huh?
I do. I wear it all the time. I'd be lost without it. It's kind of unique, and, of course, my buddy Bob Marks, there's just only one of him in the world, but he's a nut.
Yes, well, he's like the treasure hunter's treasure hunter, isn't he?
He is, and I love it. Every time he writes another book, I get it and read it. I already know what's... It's the same type of writing and historical stories you're talking about, but it's a lot of fun reading it. He's a great guy.
So. Yes. Well, yeah, and you have a lot of stories in your own right, and obviously having a treasure piece like that only is appropriate, one of a kind, with the eels and, like you said, the hand, the whole thing. It makes a lot of sense. You see this firsthand, and Captain Slate will share these stories with you. Captain Slate, we got to talk about some of your favorite types of encounters that you have. Obviously, you have the creature feature, but... You know, what particular animal do you kind of commune with most? Is it a particular fish? Is it one of the sharks or what?
I'd have to say that probably playing with a barracuda, which you really don't play with him. He comes by and takes a fish and is gone. But the big lithe grouper we have out here, the one we call Bruiser, and Little Bruiser, the smaller one at about 80 pounds, those guys actually are friendly, pugnacious, and they come up and let you hug them. And they're just fun. You know they're thinking when they look in your eyes.
Well, with a name like Bruiser, I'm not so sure what kind of fun we're talking about. Well, we'll find out after the Dan Tip, which is next.
Do you want to talk diving or tell Greg the Dive Master he's all wet? Then call Scuba Radio now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Dominica. You've heard us talk about our amazing adventures in Dominica. Experience the Nature Island for yourself July 9th through the 18th during Dominica Dive Fest. Buy 5 spots, get 1 free, and many other island-wide specials available. Scuba Radio will be there with mermaids in tow, and you should be too. Groups, dive clubs, buddy teams, or singles, everyone is welcome July 9th through the 18th for Dominica Dive Fest. Go to DominicaDiveFest.com now. That's DominicaDiveFest.com.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. Patty, the way the world learns to dive.
On the line with us is Neil Watson, the depth and distance world record holder for scuba diving. He's also the president of the Bahamas Diving Association. Neil, just what is it about the Bahamas that makes diving there so attractive?
Greg, one of the unique features is our diversity. We're 100,000 square miles, literally 50 miles from the U.S. mainland, whether it's sharks, wrecks, reefs, walls. We have everything that any diver and even a non-diving spouse could ever want for a dive destination.
You can start planning your Bahamas adventure at BahamasDiving.com. The Bahamas, our 700 islands, could change you forever.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio, diver's consumer tip number 11. Remember, a sure way to irritate your dive boat captain is to ask if a lobster you just caught is a girl or a boy. Get it? Boy, B-O-U-I.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper.
Oh, man. Oh, slap me. So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And we have Jeff Myers in here today, the COO and Vice President of Training for Divers Alert Network. How's it going, Jeff?
It's all good, Greg. How are you?
Busy.
Yeah, with what?
Well, surprisingly, with a lot of divers who listen to the show who aren't divers but would like to be.
Well, that's pretty cool. What kind of questions do they have?
Mostly about how to get started. So I thought we might talk a bit about that today.
Sounds good to me.
What do you recommend as a starting point for finding a dive center or instructor?
The same starting point we all use. Recommendations from friends or someone else you respect and trust. Maybe it's another diver, or maybe it's someone who knows a diver.
And if the diver doesn't know anyone, to make a recommendation?
Most of us then just look for a local dive shop as a starting point.
What should a new diver look for in a dive shop?
Any reputable dive operation should be affiliated with a recognized certification agency. It doesn't matter whether it's PADI, NAWI, SSI, SDI, or any of the others, but it should be a recognized agency.
All of the agencies are really good about setting training standards, and every one of them can teach you what you need to know. I've seen great divers from all of them.
Yeah, me too.
So even if it's easy to identify the training agency affiliation, it can still be pretty intimidating to walk into a dive shop.
Absolutely true. It's full of unfamiliar equipment designed to take you to an unfamiliar environment. Of course, that's what's exciting about it, too.
Oh, yeah. But how do you navigate such unfamiliar territory? What questions should a prospective diver be asking?
The first one I'd ask is, what are the class options? Are they taught during the week or on the weekends? Are they available online?
A lot of agencies are offering that option now, aren't they?
People need the flexibility of being able to build classes into their schedule, and an online option allows that. Even Dan does it with training seminars. But no matter how much entry-level coursework you do online, there should still be a confined water and open water portion where you learn the skills. You still need time with an instructor.
How about the size of the class?
Sure, that's a great question. Some people like a large class. Others want to share it with just a few other students. Still others want a private class. So definitely ask about those options until you find the one that suits you.
What about components included with the class?
That's a crucial question. Absolutely ask what's included with the class price. Does the price include training materials, or do you have to purchase those separately? Does the operation supply your gear, or will you have to buy it, if only the basics?
Define the basics.
Some operations like you to learn on your own gear, and so they ask you to purchase your own mask, snorkel, and fins. This is a great approach used by a lot of dive centers, so don't think that it's unusual. But do remember, it should be a safety and comfort reinforcement issue, not something that makes you feel pressured.
What about bigger items like tanks and BCDs?
These should be provided by the operation. Definitely don't feel pressured into buying them at any time.
What about the open water dives?
It's a great idea to ask about them. They may be referred to as open water dives, certification dives, or even checkout dives, but whatever they're called, get the details up front. Sometimes they're done locally, but sometimes travel is involved. It's important to know where they will be done and whether the cost of diving there is included in the cost of the course.
How about checking out the instructor?
Don't be shy. If the instructor's credentials aren't posted for the world to see, ask about what they are. Any reputable dive shop and instructor will welcome your questions, and they'll be happy to provide whatever information you need to feel comfortable.
If you want to, you can also call the instructor certification agency and ask about them, right?
Sure. All the certification agencies will be able to tell you whether or not your prospective instructor is in good standing. The same is true if you want to ask about the dive shop itself.
What would you say is the most important thing about choosing a dive center or instructor?
I'd say it's to remember that diving is supposed to be fun and that your dive shop and instructor are your introductions to it. So keep looking until you find one that makes you feel welcome, comfortable, informed, and excited about the adventure. There are so many options and great operations out there. You'll find a program that suits you.
You may have just done the summary for me.
Oh, sorry. Take it away.
Well, diving is a grand adventure, and it should be so from the start. Finding your dive center instructor is part of that adventure, so find one that fits what you need. Don't be afraid to ask questions, because any good operation understands and welcomes them. And when you find one that works for you, jump in and join the club. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
All right, we're hanging out with Captain Slate and Key Largo on our, you know, trek through the Florida Keys this week. And, you know, we've joked about this. I can't believe we've gotten this far into the show and haven't... exercised your diver recall system, which is quite unique. Can you work one up for me right now, Captain Slate, or no?
My diaphragmatic recall system?
Yes. Yeah, you know, Captain Slate can birch better than anyone on the planet, and trust me, I know. You always know where he is on the dive boat, but God bless him. That's part of the charm.
Like the AquaCat.
Exactly. Yes, yeah, we were on the AquaCat for a week, and, you know, he always knew where Captain Slate was, because all of a sudden you'd hear... Yeah, there it is. All right. Yeah, see? And you're like, oh, okay, Slate's right over there. No problem. But yeah, you know, once again, it's part of the charm. He really has captured the whole diver lifestyle, as far as I like hanging out, as far as it's low-key. Everybody's a friend. You feel like you've known them for years. I mean, that's the kind of atmosphere you get when you go diving with Captain Slate. We got to talk about, however, what's going on right now with the operation and with the diving. I know we're wrapping up lobster season's ending here at the end of the month. What's been the overall, you know, your take on that perspective for the season?
Well, we've had caught our limit whenever we went out to catch them, and we take people going that want to go to sites they can catch them. And as you know, most divers see them and fight to get them, but maybe get one or two, because they're not willing to sacrifice their hand to the more ill gods that might be under the rock.
Right, which is a good thing. Put your hand in a crack, you might not get it back, kind of thing.
Yes, but we catch them and we see them. As far as the commercial catch, the price is still low this year. They didn't really do a great job on the prices. I think some lobsters are still selling at the dock for $3 a pound, which is...
Well, you got to steer me towards those, folks, so when I go back to Orlando, I can say I caught them.
That's it.
Because the water's still a little bit too cool for me right now, Captain Slate. What are you seeing right now out there? Because it's been a really chilly season here for the last month or so in Florida.
It's been the coldest on record as far as the land temperature. The water got down to about 66 is the coldest I ever saw it. But now I dove, let's see, Sunday, whatever today is. Sunday I was in the water, and it's at about 68, 70. In fact, from one end of the reef to the other, it was 2 degrees difference. I had 70 on the south end of the elbow the other day.
Okay, well, that's acceptable. It's warming up, 3 mil maybe. For a warm water wuss like myself, I might be willing. It's either that or I find the place where they're selling these lobsters. I haven't decided what to do yet. More coming up.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why for the second year in a row, we have made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. We're doing 4 weeks on board ourselves this year, and you're welcome to join us on any of these special adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Everybody does. Oh, there he is. As you can hear, Captain Slate is hanging out with me here in Key Largo at the top of the rock, as they say, as we traverse down to Key West. We'll hear about our adventures as we travel down south here in hour two of the big show. But Captain Slate, I know you got a lot of things coming up here in the next few weeks, as the season kind of ramps up and the water warms up. CaptainSlate.com is the website they need to check in for, because you're getting ready to do, what is this, a diver appreciation day or night or what?
It's a customer appreciation party that we're going to do, and it's, I haven't set the date yet because I haven't gotten the calendar out, but it's going to be the May 1st, which is a Saturday night, or May 8th. Check our website. Right. And it's going to be a party, a rock band, a dance at the shop, and just plenty of food and that voluptuous liquid that all divers inhale called beer.
Yes, I've heard of that.
Yes, it's a rare commodity only found in Key Largo.
Yeah.
We have plenty of it.
Yes. And maybe we can throw some mermaids into the mix. What do you think?
Mermaids
on the grill here in Captain Slate's Atlantis Dive Center?
Mermaids. Yes, good.
It sounds like, trust me, anytime you got the opportunity to hang out with Captain Slate, it is a good time, guaranteed. And I have no doubt that'll be quite a treat for the folks that get to come down and hang out with you for an evening. But look, you need to dive with this guy. You've heard him for the last hour. He's a living legend in the dive industry, and the guy is just phenomenal. And hopefully we've captured some of that. And Captain, I am so honored to call you a friend. Well, I really am.
Come on now, Greg. We started in this business, you did, with me. And since then, I've never let you go, because you are the man on the radio.
Yeah.
If it's a scuba world, it's you.
Okay, he's been drinking some of that beverage that we were referring to here in Key Largo that they have too much of, I'm guessing. But no, it is. It's a cool thing, and CaptainSlate.com is the website that you want to go to. I know you got a boat to clean up. Get ready for the rush of the divers for the weekend, right?
I do. I have a couple little tidbits there, another day or so to put it back together. We pulled it all out and changing parts out and cleaning props and cleaning bottoms, making them look pretty and painting them, and we're going to be ready Friday.
Ready Friday. And how many boats you got cruising right now?
I got three. The glass bottom here, which we use as a dive boat if we need to, and the two dive boats. And I have my little play boat, which we use as a special charter boat. It's a 39-foot Trojan, and we use that for mermaids only and anything they need to take along with them.
All right, yeah, special events, second thing, mermaids.
Right.
Yeah, I like it. All right, once again, CaptainSlate.com. Go there, book it today. You won't be sorry. And dive with a living legend. It's well worth it. All right, look, hour two's coming up. We're heading down to Key West to dive with the Mel Fisher folks. We're going to interface with some new scuba radio mermaids that we captured in our nets as we traveled down. You'll hear about them and then some, all in hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Don't go anywhere. Give me one more, Captain Slate. Nice.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.